Thanks for listening to this Arrow FM podcast, brought to you with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Hello and welcome to 92.7 Arrow FM. You are listening to the show Help, and I am your host, Michael. Today, my wife is not here. That's why you can't hear her sweet voice. I don't just have her turned down on purpose. But no, she's being a mum, I guess is the best way of putting it. At the moment, so, and mum to our kids, not someone else's kids, just don't know why I'm clarifying that, but, so I will be on the show hosting today. Now, what is Help? Help is a show that, we started, or she started, where we can kind of ask questions about parenting, talking about some things that we would have liked to have known before we got into parenting. Some of it is things that, you know, you hear but you don't put as much importance or weight behind it because you think, oh yeah, they'll come later, or I don't know, for whatever reason. You know how there's always these things where you don't consider some advice or some knowledge until you actually really need it, and you're like, oh, I wish I remember what had happened. So some of it's that, some of it's things that may not get discussed, whether it's through antenatal classes, through friends, peers, teaching, whatever, things that don't really get talked about or whatnot. So, and also we do link it in with a lot of the mental health side of things. That's definitely an arena that my wife works in, and by proxy I'm a part of as well. So I think it's important to talk about a range of different things. So that's what Help is. We are, you know, pondering questions around parenting. And hopefully you guys learn from it, or you laugh at us, or you guys realize that you knew this already. So whether it's one of those three things, I hope today will be just as fruitful. So if you want to listen to past shows, they are on the RFM website. And go to the show Help, and you'll be able to see, yep, all the podcasts and whatnot. So I encourage you to go do that, because it is some great content, and I am not biased at all. Right, so today, last time, my wife is better at this, at remembering things we talked about in the past. I have a good, concept of all the bits and pieces we have talked about, but I always forget what the last show is. I know the last show that I did was around being a dad, being emotionally available as a father, and breaking that whole stigma of, you know, being a tough man, man's man, who kind of bottles up their emotions because that's what they think strength is. Talking about that for a little bit, that's the last time I did it solo. This time I wanted to, make things a little bit, I want to say, be honest, it'll make things a little bit easier for me. So what I've done, as many of you are probably aware, and use ChatGPT, that I have actually just chucked into what are some things that parents should tell their kids before they reach parenthood? So I thought it'd be fun to kind of chuck it in here, get an AI's response to what they think, is important that parents impart to their kids. The reason I thought it'd be fun and interesting to do is because we have covered a range of different areas, a range of different topics on the show over the last few years. And so I want to see how much of that stuff we've talked about is actually in this response, as well as, maybe give it a bit of a different spin on it today. So anyway, it has given me 10 points that it thinks it is important. I will not rank them because I am not a professional, and I do not want you to, I do not want this to come back on me saying, well, this is what I did is most important, it didn't work out. Not that you would, because you probably don't know how to get in contact with me, which, is helpful. Right, so let's dive into this. 10 things that AI reckons a parent should tell their kid or talk about with their kid before their kid reaches parenthood. Number one, parenting isn't about perfection. And I think this is something that we have talked about lots, and I do agree. So, Let your kid know that there is no perfect parent, mistakes will happen, and that's okay. And why is it important to know this? Because kids should understand that being a parent is about learning and growing. They shouldn't hold themselves to impossible standards. Now, I do think this is actually, I don't know, I think this is something that when you think about it, you're like, oh no, you know, parenting isn't perfect. No parent is perfect. But I think as a kid, as adults, we can recognize that and we can see that, you know. But as a child, I think it's important because I know for myself, get to that point where you have to break that stigma of what your parents are like. Because now, whenever I start talking about this, I recognize that, you know, I need to clarify or I need to point out that this is definitely for, I'm kind of talking in more generalized and kids that were raised in a relatively stable environment, because I do know there are extremes where kids don't see their parents this way, for whatever reason. But quite often for kids, their parents are the heroes and their parents can do no wrong, or whatever my parent says, the kids believe. I mean, it's so much fun when they do that, because you can really play on it, which I definitely do sometimes with my kids. But it's a whole thing, you know. The kids can, you hear the common arguments, like, my dad said this, my mom said this. Well, no, that's wrong, because like they don't need to have any logic, because their parents are, you know, they're everything. So it's very easy for your kid to see you in that light of the perfect. And although as adults, it's easy to can kind of rationalize that. I'm like, no, we're not perfect, we make mistakes. But your kid doesn't know that. They think that everything you do is right. The way you cook food is the best way, or whatever. So I think it's really good to actually raise this and kind of try break that stigma of, you know, around parenting. It isn't about perfection. And because it's very easy when you start to get into that to try be a perfect parent. And you often think about your childhood and or how you might have been parented. You often think about it in a positive light. So that way you kind of think, oh, well, you know, they were so much better than I am or whatnot. And it can start to build all that stress on you. And we've talked about this recently, just the amount of pressure and stress you put on yourself trying to be that perfect parent. And especially when we've talked about the whole social media side of it, where you only get snippet into people's lives around them being a parent, and you think, oh man, they're so good, and you know, they do this with their kids and they always seem to be active, but it's just a snippet, and it's not actually what perfect about, it's not actually perfect. So really good point one, I think. Don't know how much more I need to talk about that, because I think it's you know, we've covered it quite a bit. So point two, it's okay to ask for help. Teach them early that seeking help, whether from a friend, family, or professional, does not make them weak. Why it is important is because parenting is overwhelming at times, and being able to rely on a support system is crucial for mental well-being. I think asking for help is something that we struggle to do at times. I don't know if this is just a New Zealand thing. Talking to other people that have moved to New Zealand recently, actually, several people that are in my world, especially around work and whatnot. A few come from England, some from Holland, got some come from South Africa or Zimbabwe and whatnot. So chatting to them, it's quite interesting, because you kind of start to talk about the different cultures and what's going on. And it's definitely a common theme that I hear from these people that have moved to New Zealand, where Kiwis don't seem to like to ask for help very often. The whole do it ourselves and kind of attitude, and she'll be right kind of attitude, exists very much through, which is great in one sense, but I think in other senses it can be quite detrimental, where we don't ask for help, but then we also don't necessarily know how to ask for help, because we, or even when to ask for help. And I think this exists at quite a few different levels. And I know there is a general if you're going to build a fence at home, you quite often get your mates, yeah, can you come help me? But still, you're kind of doing it yourself. You may not necessarily be asking a person who knows how to build a fence to come help you. You're just asking someone to, kind of do it, but that's not necessarily asking for help in the correct way. So I think it's twofold here, and I think it's really important to teach your kids this. One, show that humility that actually there are times when you need help, whether you do need to break off things like embarrassment or shame or whatever, because to be honest, that doesn't even come into it. But teaching your kids that it's okay to ask for help, that you don't know anything. I think it links well with point one, where parents aren't perfect, but it's okay. Sorry, I keep just get my words stuck a little bit. So it's okay to ask for help, showing them that you don't have to rely on yourself, but then also showing them how to ask for help too. And that can quite often come down to who you go to for help. If you have an issue with your, let's make it general, if you have an issue with your teeth, you're not going to go to the local GP, or you're not going to go to an optometrist when you've got teeth issues. You're going to go to a dentist. So same thing relies with parenting. If you are struggling, say you have something like anger in yourself and it's affecting you at being a parent, you're going to go seek someone who can help you manage your anger. If you are looking for ways to discipline or bring that in, you're going to go seek someone who's, good with the focus, the family focus and the parenting side of things, all these different bits and pieces. So I think it's important to show them those two facets. One, how to show them asking for help is not a weakness, but two, how to actually go about asking for help, making sure you're going to get the good advice, making sure you're going to, to be seen. And what we talk about quite a bit here on the show is about creating a village, because my wife and I really strongly believe that it does take a village to raise kids. And what we like to see established is people who are able to establish their village for them. Now, it looks very different to what it used to. It's not necessarily just about who's around you immediately, but for you, we pull in lots of different people that can actually help us on our journey of being a parent. So I think asking for help is definitely goes a long way to actually developing that, which is quite important. I think I've labored on that point enough. Right, number three, your mental health matters. Stress to the kids, that mental health is just as important as physical health, and that it's essential to take care of both. Often, new parents prioritize their children's needs at the expense of their own. Understanding the importance of self-care can help prevent burnout, which, again, something that was so common in our shows that we talk about. Mental health is such a big impact, and there are so many different layers to the benefits of having good mental health and the negatives of poor mental health. And fundamentally, it all comes down to making sure you take care of yourself. And hopefully, with a lot of things we've talked about on the show, you recognize, some of the things that starts young. I think having a good mental health starts when you're a kid, the environment you grow up in, and so for you as a parent, you can then, help develop that. But then it's not just about the environment; it's about teaching how to kind of unpack some of the how does self care and how to self regulate, I guess, is the best way of describing it, because there are people there that need to be able to work through the emotions in a healthy way. Need to be able to express them, and there's people there that kind of don't necessarily need to do that as much. They're a lot more regulated. So, but it's giving your kids a toolkit of how to look after their mental health. So, And it is just as important as physical health. Like, you know, I think the hard thing that we always come back to when we talk about physical health, mental health, is physical health. Often there's a tangible effect that's going on. So if you have lung problems, then often it's breathing that is hard, or which then leads to, you know, lack of being able to sustain exercise, or lack of being able to continue an activity because you're trying to get oxygen to your body. If you have like a sprung leg or broken leg or something like that, it's quite physical. So physical things is very easy because there's often tangible evidence of what's going on, tangible symptoms. Mental health, it's all because it evolves, it's an emotional and the unseen side of your makeup. That's where it gets tricky, because you're kind of looking at different things like, are you constantly tired, constantly lethargic, are you constantly have no patience when normally you do, are you on the verge of blowing up, all those sorts of things, which you know, easy to kind of write it off as, oh, just having a bad day, or, you know, just been busy lately, and real easy to write it off like that. But that's not what's going to teach you self-care, that's just going to lead to you burning out in the long run, which we've talked about recently. We've talked about parental burnout, and we've talked about just burnout from mother, burnout from a father, and a lot of these different things, because that's where it basically leads to. And the key takeaway from the series we're talking about with that, well, one of what I feel is one of the key ones is around the parental burnout, is it's just like regular burnout where you just can't carry on. The downside is you have dependence, so it's not as easy just to not go on. So it's not like you can shut yourself away for a week and just recover, because you have kids and your kids need you. So that's why it's so important that you don't get to the point of burnout. You really, really need to make sure that you are putting in place those things that is going to keep you in a good mental space. So whether that is, you know, taking time out each week, doing something that recharges you. So like working out what does recharge you. Are you one of those people that we label an extrovert, that needs to go out and be around and socialize with people, that energizes you? Or are you someone who actually just needs to have downtime normally at home or by yourself or with just very key select people? And if those are the cases, then are you getting that? What are you doing? Because it comes down to, you are the one who can control this. No one else can. Your spouse can't. Your parents can't. Your cousin, your friends, they can't control this. Only you can. And only you can determine what it is you need and when you're going to get it. And sometimes it may seem hard, but sometimes your self-care will come at the expense of your partner or your kids. But overall, what is the most, what's most important? Because you could keep putting it off because, you know, you don't want kids to suffer, you don't want your partner to suffer. But all that's going to do is just basically delay the impact that's going to be felt by them. Because if you get to the point where you're burnt out and you physically cannot carry on, they're going to have to carry the load regardless of the state they're in, and it could just end up pretty bad. So, look, I think why I testify so much to this is because this was part of my journey. So my wife, we had three kids. Each time she had a child, her mental health seemed to get into a worse space. And this is before we really understood mental health, really, really understood depression and perinatal depression and all that sort of bits and pieces, even just the lack of sleep and the effects that has on you and whatnot. So I got myself into the space. So we had the kids over 4 years, one every year and a half. And so by the time we were about 4 years in, is where everything just kind of came crashing down. And because I was constantly putting her and my family first and not looking after myself. So I got to a point where she was not in a good space, but I was slowly working myself to a really bad space until it just hit. And then neither of us were in a good space. And we really had to have people come in. We had to have professional help. I didn't have to go on any medication, but I still took, I think I took 2, maybe 3 weeks off work all at once. Had to have people cooking for us, had to have people come in and look after the kids. And then from there, it was in developing this plan of how we can sustain that and what it is I needed and working through all that sort of stuff. So I think this is why it comes to why I like to labour on this point, but because it's something that I walk through and I can just see that it's a bit of a trap for new players, so to say, where they just do not look after themselves or do not create those good habits early on, and it'll lead to a bad space. Cool. Right, number four. Communication is key in relationships. So encourage your child to work on them, work on open, honest communication with their partner long before becoming parents. I agree with this because this is something I was rubbish at. Raising children requires teamwork. Good communication strengthens partnerships and making parenting less stressful. So, yeah, I think, you know, when you, it's a key point you hear, you know, kids don't fix everything. I guess it's probably the short way of saying it. You know, if you guys are having a child is going to basically exacerbate anything that's going on in your relationship with your partner anyway. So if things are not smooth, let's say, yeah, if there's tension in your relationship, chucking a child into the mix, because you then are put, basically, especially for the first few years, you know, the stress point where you have this dependent you've got to keep looking on, anything that was kind of just little niggly will come out. And I think that is why communication is very key. And, you know, this is something I've had to work on for the last few years, is the way I communicate, because I was rubbish at it. Practical side, really good. Like I will plan things ahead, have things what to go, but don't necessarily explain what I'm thinking, why I'm thinking doing it this way. And definitely didn't go into how I was feeling, what was going on for me as well. So I think before your kids have children of themselves, you know, talking about or teaching them that communication with their partner is really important. Getting to work on that, I think, will save a lot of issues. Because even like through the show, we've talked about some random topics and they come up more often than you expect. Like, how do we discipline the kids? Well, you know, don't communicate. You're going to start disciplining two completely different ways, and it's not going to work because your kid will be confused about mum. Disciplines me this way and dad disciplines me this way, and like which way do I have to do, and bits and pieces like that. So communication, definitely a very, very hot topic here. And I think, I guess with that, you can probably make sure that if there's other things in the relationship that aren't quite okay, or if there's things that they really need to focus on, they should really be doing that before they have kids. That may not necessarily always work out, and more often than not, there are things that will have to be dealt with once you're a parent. I think that's just called life. So, but this is about, you know, giving them an idea and explaining, you know, why communication specifically, why maybe some other stuff is quite important. Because you cannot put this kid back. This kid, once they're out, that is it. You are responsible. You need to look after them. Excellent. Excellent. Right. Number five. This is a good one. Parenting is hard, and that's normal. Normalize that parenting is a challenge for everyone, not just for them. Why this is important is that it helps set realistic expectations and reduces feelings of inadequacy when they and reduces feelings of inadequacy when they inevitably face tough moments. Yep. I think it's pretty... I think in New Zealand we do this quite a bit. It's like, possibly normalize it, not in the necessarily the most helpful way. It's like, it's cool being a parent. Like, you know, when someone's talking about stuff going on or not having sleep, it's like, you chose to be a parent, you know. It's everyone, all the parents, like, that sort of carry on. I don't know. I don't find that so helpful because people are, it's normalizing parenthood in a way. But it's a little bit negative as well. Probably the best way of saying it. Because, reality is, parenting is challenging. There are definitely times where you just get thrown a curveball and you're like, what? Like, I wasn't ready for this. Or at the moment, talking about my kids, we're in a stage where both the boys are just giving us so much attitude. Now, I know that they think it's funny. I'm pretty sure that's what they're going for. Like, they're just trying to be funny. They're just trying to, it's part of the banter that goes on between my wife and I is, we give each other a bit of attitude sometimes, but it comes down to we know when was the right time and moment, and our boys just do not know when is right. So I'm literally telling them off because of, I can't remember what, I can like probably pick like one of 10 things at the moment. I'm going to use the school morning or getting ready for school because they just are not, and they're not doing their jobs. And so then I will be telling them off sternly, using my serious voice, sitting them down. They know I'm telling them off, but man, they will give me so much attitude about, oh, but I didn't know this, or, I'm struggling to mimic something, but where am I going with the story? Oh, that's right. We've got that going on, and it is tough because we just have, like, we're facing the same situation like 4 or 5 times a day that we're just having to battle through, and we know that it will click for them. We know this is a phase for them going through, and for us, we're like, we're just got to be consistent. We just got to keep consistently parenting them through this in the same manner, even though sometimes you just want to, I don't know. Like, I honestly don't want to say anything that's going to get in trouble. That's probably why. But you just want to clip them around the ear. That's probably the best way of saying it. And it's because, you know, it is tough being a parent at times, having to deal with this over and over again. Even when you're not feeling well, even when you've had a rough day, like, it's not your kid's fault that you're dealing with that. And so you've somehow got to, like, even yourself out and be able to parent through those. So, and why it's so important is to normalize it. I think it's because it's very easy to get caught in that trap of loneliness. Oh, no one else feels like this, or I'm the only one. And you go to those extremes. I think we quite often, maybe it's a day and age thing, I don't know, but I think it's very easy to be done where you feel like you're the only one facing this and no one else understands, but actually other people do, and sometimes it's just about being heard and hearing what people have to say, or your kids have to say, or whoever's gone through it has to say, to recognize, hey, yes, it is challenging, and we get it, and we're there with you, and it's been challenging for us as well, not to take away from your challenges, but just to show that we're in this together. Because I think when you do that, it's also very easy. It makes it a lot easier to go back into that whole asking for help, because you recognize, you know, everyone is suffering this. So maybe it's time to talk about it. Cool. Point 6. You can't plan for everything. No amount of planning will prepare them for every situation they will face as parents. Flexibility and adaptability are important in parenthood, and understand that is, and understanding this can ease anxiety. Yeah, I think this is a bit of a trap that we can fall into as well. You know, I know, like, when we had our first kid and we went out anywhere, you know, we had our bag packed. We had nappy bag packed. We made sure we had extra food in there. We took more than enough nappies, more than enough wipes. We had everything organized, bottles, bits and pieces, in case anything happened, you know. And so we'd be lugging around this big thing, and we'll chuck in the car and whatnot. So I know with the first kid, very good like that. I think as we've gone on with parenting, and we recognize, you know, there's just some things you cannot plan for. We went out with our youngest Troy a few times, and then realized that he's done a poo and we don't have any nappies. We're like, whoops. And I think because we've gone, like, over the time of just having the kids, it would have been over about 4 years, you know, realizing that, like, those early days we have are well over prepared. Sometimes you can be a little bit too over prepared. And we just relaxed on it over the time until we got to the point where we're on the complete opposite side of it, where, you know, we can't plan for everything. Probably could have done a bit better with that some of that stuff. But, you know, we learned to kind of adapt to be flexible with what our plans were and what we're doing, rather than trying to have everything down to a routine, a regiment, whatever you want to call it. But, yeah, and even as they get older, like, we are planning, I think at the moment we're in the space where we wanted to really do some overseas trips with the kids, and so trying to make plans and trying to figure out the years, and so we're starting to do a whole lot of planning for it. But then, you know, just some unexpected things just come up, and all of a sudden it's like, you know, this plan we had for 18 months time where we're going to go over on a trip overseas for like 3 weeks, that's looking like that probably can't happen now. And so it is really, and so with that, you have that option of you get annoyed or disappointed or whatever, or you can figure out how to adapt to that plan and be flexible to it, because it is important to take that on. And the earlier you can figure out how to adapt as a parent, the better off you're going to be, from my point of view. Cool. Number 7, this is quite an interesting one. I don't think we talked about this on the show very much at all, actually. Love comes in different forms. Love for a child will look different from what they may expect, but it will be profound and life-changing. Agree with that. It helps them to appreciate the unique bond with their children without comparing it to others' experiences. Some of the things we have talked on the shows that kind of cover some of this topic is probably around the personalities, and that's your own personality and your children's personality, because they do exist. And even as babies, I think it's the personalities are there, but I don't think you really notice them until later on when you're looking back, unless you've had multiple kids, because you don't necessarily know what's a personality trait or what's just been a baby. And so when you have more than one child, then you can start to compare between them two and be like, actually, you know, that's a quirk that Lucy did, and whereas this is one that Troy does, and bits and pieces like that. So talking about those personalities, we did talk about, you know, love languages and how you give and receive love. So that's probably the way I can talk about it the most, because of the fact that we do receive love differently to often how we give love. So, you know, how you often want to feel loved is the way that you will give it. So for me, I will quite naturally go and do things for other people, as a service for them. If someone came and did that for me, now it feels awkward when someone comes and does it for me, because I'm not used to it. But it's also how I feel appreciated the most and loved the most. Whereas if I do that to someone who loves gifts, aka my wife, you know, she doesn't, like, she feels a little bit appreciated, but not really. Like, she'd much rather me just go buy something for her, even if it's just something little like a candle, and give it to her. And she'd be like, oh man, I feel so loved right now. You're amazing, type thing. And so I think that's why it's important, you know, it comes in very, very different forms. And so then when you put it onto your kids, like, it will be very different. The way you feel love from them is very different to anything you can kind of really explain or say, because it's kind of this thing, like I said, it's very difficult to explain. You're holding someone who is 100% dependent on you, and as they grow up, they basically, you are their hero, their protector, and their savior, and like you look out for them and you care for them, and they kind of love you pretty much unconditionally back, and it's not something that's very easy to explain. But I think it's also important that, you know, not all parents will respond immediately or feel that immediately, and that's okay. Birthing a child is like a hugely traumatic event. Just even if it goes well, it can be traumatic, because what is happening is, you know, not something you do every day. So just starting with that, it can take a little bit of time for that love to grow and build, but as it does, you will really start to feel the impact of it, and it will be different. So the way I experience love from my kids is going to be different to the way Abby, my wife does, or how our friends feel it. And I think it's okay that it is different I know it's okay that it's different for all the people. I think it's just recognizing, as a person going into parenthood, that you're recognizing that it may not necessarily be what you expected, but as long as you're open to what the love might be, it will be there. So I think that's probably a topic that maybe I can dive into one day, do a bit more research. Right, three more points, eh? Point number 8, patience will be tested. 100% patience will be tested, especially when you have two boys giving you a whole lot of attitude at the moment. Remind them that parenthood will require more patience than they ever thought possible, and that it's okay. This will prepare them for the emotional challenges and help that them develop resilience when things are tough. And this really does link into the point about parenting is hard and it's normal. You know, patience is really such a great virtue to develop as a parent, because your kids will test you and test you and test you and keep pushing and keep pushing and keep pushing to see what they can get away with. But it's just, you know, trying to be that consistent. Maybe this is something, you know, that I've built into my kids. But, you know, when they go to bed, mainly the older two at the moment, but they will keep wanting to tell me little things, or tell me this, tell me that. Now, I try throughout the day to be very present with them, that I'm talking with them. I'm not just kind of disengaging, so that they do feel like they can share things with me. But at night, I kind of just, you know, I'm done. I want them to go to bed so I can go off and relax, or do other things or whatever. So when they keep telling me bits and pieces, like, I've got to remember, I've just got to be patient. Otherwise, you know, otherwise you're going to miss out on some opportunities, or you might shut them off and then they might feel rejected before going to bed. Probably overthinking that a little bit, but that's just one example I use, because, you know, I just need to exercise patience in that time. When discipline, definitely, you just have to use patience. And I think successful discipline is when you are that consistent, you know what you're doing, you have a plan of how the discipline's going to work, and you're consistent, and you're patient with it, not letting in, because they will push and push and push. And I think it's definitely something to remind, and quite regularly remind, people about, your kids about, when they go into parenting. Right. Number 9. It's okay to feel overwhelmed. It does link in with the whole parenting's hard side of things. You know, reassuring that feeling overwhelmed at times is a normal part of parenthood and does not make them bad parents. Knowing this can prevent the feelings of shame or failure when those overwhelming moments come. And 100% agree, you know, it is so easy to be overwhelmed at times. Because often, I don't know if I've experienced when just parenting alone has overwhelmed me. I think it's more been a combination of a bunch of things like work, being work, possibly some external sources around family or bits and pieces going on, and then being a parent as well. Because you know you have to be a parent when you have kids. You can't choose not to. So feeling that overwhelming sense and of like, can you actually do this? Can we actually achieve this? Like, type of, or can I achieve this? So it's very easy for those to be linking to shame, like, oh, well, then I'm a bad parent because, you know, I'm feeling so overwhelmed. I should not be like this. But we all feel that. It will happen. And I think when those do happen, that's when you really rely on those around you, so the village you have. Who is that person you can talk to? Is it your partner? They say, look, I'm feeling overwhelmed. Can they respond? Is it a friend? Is it some key people that can say, hey, this is what I'm feeling? That those people that will then remind you, saying, hey, everything's going to be okay. We'll get through this. Do we need to strategize or something? How do we help you? Because if you don't identify that, and like earlier, talk about communication, if you don't communicate that through, you're not going to end up just bottling it up and then not dealing with it, and then it's just going to build and build and build. So sometimes just the fact that you share it with someone or voice it or vocalize it is enough. So no, that's a really good point. And number 10, enjoy little moments. I think teach your kids that as parents, cherish small everyday moments with their children because time moves fast. Parenting often involves a lot of mundane tasks, but finding joy in those moments creates lasting memories and strengthens the parent-child bond. I like this point. I think it's a great point to end on as well, because, you know, often it is the little moments. I think we put a lot of emphasis on the big things like, oh, we're going to go on this trip to Rosaroa and we're going to have fun there. And so we kind of plan and plan and plan. And yeah, we have a family trip. And yeah, it is good. And we have a lot of fun. And it's a good memory that we've developed. But if we're so focused on those big ones, it's often lots of these little points that we just miss completely. And they can be so valuable as memories, not just for you, but for your children. And just those interactions you have with them growing up. And, you know, and I think it's always the small moments that you have your children that is what is going to kind of outlast the larger ones. Because they're the ones that will define what sort of parent you've been. Or so, for example, you know, if you have the routine that every Saturday morning you cook breakfast for your kids and you have it with your kids, like, that can be a small moment. It might only take half an hour on a Saturday, if that. But the other ones that, you know, every Saturday we had cooked breakfast with my dad or cooked breakfast with my mum, like that sort of stuff. It's a small moment, but it will last. And it's not just those regular small moments. The other things I think about quite often is, you know, in those times when you're talking with your children, are you, like, how alert and awake, alert and engaged are you? Because sometimes these conversations can just go in abstract ways, or they lead into some harder topics that need to be discussed. So, like Lucy, she wanted to talk about some aspects of puberty early on. She's got an inquisitive brain. And so we were able to have that, when I say we, my wife, more than I was able to have that chat with her quite early on, because she was in the moment, she retained all that information and kind of answered all the questions, and that was it for a while. Like, we could have pushed off and like, oh, you don't need to know about that yet. But we kind of engaged in it, and it was actually a really nice moment to talk about this and talk about her body developing and growing up. And quite often with her, even with the other two as well, it is these small times where they just need that interaction, and or they say something, and then it can be quite a cool journey, I guess, that you go on. Or anyway, I think you can identify it with your own kids, as well as when you're talking to your children about when they're about to become parents, you can kind of identify, hey, you remember all these times that you and I shared together like this, or, you know, that's really important because what was it for you? Did it build into your relationship and whatnot? So No, I think it's a really good one to finish on. So, as a cap, this is what I believe are 10 points you should share with your children before they become parents. 1, parenting isn't about perfection. 2, it's okay to ask for help. 3, your mental health matters. 4, communication is key in relationships. 5, parenting is hard and that's normal. 6, you can't plan for everything. 7, love comes in different forms. 8, patience will be tested. 9, it's okay to feel overwhelmed. And 10, enjoy the little moments. I hope you enjoyed today. I hope you might have learned something. Hopefully you haven't learned that AI will take over the world, because I don't think it will yet. Maybe in 3 years' time, but we'll see. But I hope you enjoyed the show. Have a great week, and I hope I left you thinking. And yeah, again, have a great week. Talk to you later. Bye.